Did you know that your physical touch and closeness with other people is actually a really, really important part of what it means to be a human? Doctors have found out that people who go extended periods of time with no physical contact with any other person actually experience what's called touch starvation. And in touch starvation, it impacts you emotionally and even physically. So on the emotional side, these are some of the consequences. Individuals experience chronic anxiety, depression, mood swings, irritability, and increased stress. On the physical side, because their blood pressure never, like, it doesn't lower. Physical touch lowers blood pressure. They all end up more likely to stay in a state of fight or flight, just agitated, so tense muscles, decreased immune system even. Like, we were made by God to be in community, in relationship with one another, with bonds and closeness. And when you take that all away, it actually makes a huge difference for your physical and mental health. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I have a very small set of study on this. Michelle Joy, when she sleeps. If I put my hand on her head or her shoulder or hip, her hip, while she is sleeping, within 10 seconds, she will start to snore. I mean, coo, women don't snore. Literally. Every single time for 20 years, her breathing changes the moment I put a hand on her to touch. Like, it's just this crazy thing. So touch absolutely matters. And the reason I tell you this is because as we go into this message, keep this in mind, okay? And now, physical touch, it completely matters. It is a part of relational connection. It's a part of healthy bonds. So remember all of this. Now, I know some of you might be like, I'm not really in that touch crowd, Ryan. And if your application point today is reach out and touch your neighbor, I'm out. Don't worry. I won't do that. That'd put our church in the news, and I don't want us to be in the news for reach out and touch somebody. But today, as we continue to learn about God's desire for us to put our faith into action, we're going to see how Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable and how that principle truly does apply to us today. So if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And what we're going to be reading about is how Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Now, when I say leprosy, most of you, maybe if you've read your Bibles, you've seen leprosies in the Bible over 50 times. But we don't ever hear about leprosy in Iowa. And so what we need to understand, I want to explain a little bit. Well, what is leprosy? In the Bible, in the Greek, there's this word lepra. And really, it's just talking about any of the many skin diseases which would have made a person unclean according to the Old Testament law. So this includes Hansen's disease, which is modern leprosy, but it also includes somebody who might have psoriasis or lupus or ringworm or some level of rash or discoloration or like boils on their skin. So the bottom line, this man that Jesus heals, scripture tells us he was totally covered in his leprosy. His entire body would have been covered by rashes that made him an obvious outsider to an untouchable person in all of Jewish society. And before we read Luke, I want to give just a little bit of context for the life that this man would have been living. So according to the Old Testament law in Leviticus chapter 13, this is kind of the what his life would have been like. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean. Unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So obviously, any person with leprosy was living a miserable existence of shame, isolation, and loneliness, essentially adding insult to the injury of the skin disease that they already had. And so now with that as our backdrop, let's read from Luke chapter 5, verse 2, or verse 12, excuse me. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And now I know what you might be wondering. Ryan, how does this story of Jesus' miraculous healing apply to my life today? But it's in the details of this story that Jesus models for us how we can serve those in our society, those who have been deemed untouchable. We may have, or we may not have, the supernatural power of Jesus to reach out and bring healing to somebody with a skin disease, but we do have the power of God inside of us to show love and connection, and a spiritual cleansing that is offered only through Jesus Christ. In that way, we can bring incredible healing and wholeness to the people around us. And I want to show you how. So first, the first thing Jesus models for us is a willingness. He responds to the need. Jesus wasn't too busy. He wasn't uninterested or afraid of this man who was a social outcast. When asked, Jesus said, I am willing. Even though nobody would have expected a rabbi like Jesus to help heal this man, he stepped up to the moment rather than running away. It seems like such a simple point to say Jesus was willing to heal the man who came to him. He had a willingness to serve, but let's not take that point for granted. Sometimes you might think that you're willing to be helpful to people in their moment of need, but then somebody sends you a text message when you just got home from a long day of work and you've got to mow your grass, and they need your help, and you think to yourself, do I want to help, or do I want to just ignore this text and pretend like I didn't see it till later? All of a sudden, are you actually willing to be uncomfortable and to do the difficult thing? Or maybe you hear of somebody you never liked that much who is in a bind. Do you feel a smug satisfaction that things aren't going well for them? Or do you have a desire to reach out and say, you know what? I heard that it kind of fell apart. How can I help? It's easy for us to say, oh, I love to help people. It's different to actually be the person who is willing, even when it costs you something and it's inconvenient or it's uncomfortable or it's at a bad time. I'll be honest, I'm a pastor. My job is to shepherd you all and to be helpful. And there are times I get phone calls and I think to myself, oh, not right now, I've got stuff to do. Like, that is human nature, right? We all understand that. And I'm not saying every single time drop everything and so that your family suffers and your own life suffers. But I am saying we're called to lean into a willingness to help people when we're asked. Jesus demonstrates, while our sinfulness leads us to say, oh, not right now, Jesus leans the other direction. And it's as though he's always willing. And he's modeling for us what that should look like in our own lives. But Jesus isn't the only one who demonstrates a willingness in this story. The leper is clearly willing to receive the help. He fell to the ground and he begged for Jesus to make him clean. This was a man who was desperate, and he had faith that Jesus could actually make a difference. He hadn't given up for his miserable life. He hadn't just lost all faith and said, this is just my lot in life. No, he decided, I want help. And he was willing to reach out to Jesus. And let's be honest, that's not the case with everybody who finds themselves in a difficult situation. Some people have given up in life. They found that their struggle with drugs or alcohol or homelessness or whatever it is that's just put them to the outside of society has just taken such hold of their life. They're just like, this is my life now. Nobody can help me. I'm done trying. I'm done asking for help. But not this leper. He was willing to ask. And it's important that both sides are willing. If Jesus wasn't willing and the leper came begging and Jesus said, I'm busy and kept walking, the miracle wouldn't have occurred. And if Jesus was willing but the leper wasn't interested, Jesus wasn't just healing every single person around him. Like he was healing those who came to him, who asked for help. When you look through the miraculous healings in all the Gospels, all of them are people who came to Jesus seeking help. He wasn't going out finding those who needed to be healed. It was those who came to him. And one really important piece why this matters, you can't help those who don't want help. This is an important lesson that I've learned recently. For this miracle to take place, like it had to be a both and. And so you have to understand that while you might look at a person's life and say, oh man, I need to step in and I need to help them in this way, you can't care about their pain and their difficulty in their life more than they care about it. You can't try to offer advice and offer to do the heavy lifting in somebody's life in an area that they're not ready to receive help yet. They feel like you are intruding in that moment. Does that make sense? You can only help those when they are ready and able to receive the help. And I know this is complicated. There's a gray area here. But that's why Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. So that when we have one of these moments and we're like, well, am I helping or am I just allowing them to continue in their sinfulness? You know, what am I supposed to do here, Jesus? They're asking for money. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Or is this a person who literally has just had really bad situation and they need somebody to help carry them through the moment? Like, we understand there's nuance here in these various situations that come our way. We, though, from this story, are called to lean to a willingness to help. Not necessarily to enable, like we have to have wisdom there, but to lean to a willingness to say, my first instinct is I want to help. The leper says, are you willing? And Jesus says, I am willing. We need to follow Jesus' example there. Next, Jesus shows us compassion or connection. And that connection is through his compassionate touch. This is the most shocking piece of this entire story. The fact that Jesus reached out and actually touched the leper. Nobody touched lepers. As we saw, they were all required to shout out unclean whenever they encountered people so that nobody would accidentally come in contact with them. The laws as of Jesus' time, not necessarily tied to the Old Testament, were that lepers were not to come within 6 feet of any other person, including their own family. So this man had gone years and years and perhaps a lifetime without physical contact from anybody around him. So for Jesus to break all social norms and actually reach out to touch this man was completely unexpected because Jesus didn't need to. Think of all the other miracles that Jesus performed where he spoke the word of healing and the person was healed. Pick up your mat, get up and walk. He didn't touch that man. He just spoke the word and the healing occurred. But for this leper, Jesus knew he needed the touch. He needed the connection. He needed to know that God saw him, that God was willing to reach out and heal him. He needed to know that he had been seen by God. So Jesus turned his willingness into action, into healing, and into cleansing. And sure, it made Jesus unclean for a time. It cost Jesus something. He couldn't go back to the temple that day or for a period of time until he'd done a series of things to make himself clean again. But Jesus was willing to come close to somebody whom everybody else was afraid of. Everybody else had pushed away. Imagine how that first touch must have felt for this man who hadn't been touched in so long. How that would have felt to be accepted and to be reached out and connected with another person. It seems like such a small gesture. But for this man, a touch meant so much more than just the healing. It communicated connection and compassion. And sometimes you might have the opportunity to be a touch point for somebody who's lonely or who feels like they too are on the outside of community looking in. Maybe it's a person who's been disconnected from society for a really long time. And your compassionate touch, your willingness to connect and to truly see them and show them that you care, no matter how small the gesture, it could seem like the world to them. It could be a really, really big deal. This week, I saw a news story online or on TV. It was about a boy who showed incredible compassion to a group of people who'd been outsiders. So his dad had volunteered to work at a group home for people who weren't able to live independently. And his dad decided he was going to start bringing his son along with him to interact with these people and to just show love and spend time with them. And when the boy's 9th birthday arrived, his parents asked him who he wanted to invite to his birthday party. And he said, I want to invite all the people who live at the group home. I want them to be the people who come to my birthday party. They said, why do you want to invite them? He said, because nobody else invites them to their birthday parties. And so they did this story a year ago, and the film crew was there and watched as he held this birthday party with all his new friends. His 10th birthday came, same birthday list. This year they went to the water park. They had a great time. And the story ends with the boy giving one of the clients a hug, one of his new friends, and that person saying to him, you're my best friend. This small gesture of compassion to somebody who often is seen as outside the fringes of society, and it meant the world to these people. You can do the same. Finally, Jesus models for us how the value of restoration, when this man is able to actually re-enter into society. You see, if this miracle had ended right here, it would show the compassion and power of God to heal, absolutely. But God's power does more than simply heal. It restores what has been lost. For years, if not a lifetime, this man has been cut off from all of society. He's experienced deep loss, loneliness, perhaps anxiety and depression, shame, high blood pressure, not to mention the trauma of dealing with this skin disease. So Jesus sends him to the priests to follow the Old Testament law because he couldn't be included into the community as clean unless the priests examined and said, yeah, this is actually gone. And we read that as a weird side note to the story, but it's actually so important because what Jesus is doing is he's saying, more than being physically healed, you can now be made whole. Relationally, you can be restored to the community. You can be restored to your family. You can experience life the way that God made it for us to do it within community. It's It's an incredible gift that Jesus offered this man. You see, he cares more than just that we all have physical healing. He cares that we get to experience wholeness and flourishing in the community of faith. And while you may not be able to heal a leper of their skin disease, though God might use you that way, I do believe in supernatural miracles. But what all of us have the ability to do is to help those who feel like they're outside the family of faith, they're outside of being accepted by anybody else, and say, you know what? Come join me. Come with me to church. Come with me to this event. Come be a part of this thing. You don't have to be on the outside anymore. You have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Because yes, their problems may be the result of circumstances or maybe the result of sin in their own lives and mistakes that they've made. But you have the opportunity to point them to a God who saves and to a community who accepts and can love. And to somebody who has not felt love, who has not felt seen, that is the power to completely change their life, for them to recognize, God sees me, God cares, God loves me. Today's message is really one that focuses on who you are willing to serve. Every situation looks different. And they're complicated, and we've talked about that. But what is clear in this story is that just because the person feels like, I'm uncomfortable being around that person makes me just feel weird, I don't really want to go. Like, those are not valid excuses to not help somebody in need. Jesus was willing to touch the leper that nobody touched. You can help the person who's on the outside of society. Now, I was thinking, you might be wondering, like, who are modern day lepers? Because we don't want to just look at only those with skin diseases. Like, that makes this sermon really, really narrow. But there are a lot of people in our world who make others uncomfortable and are often forgotten. It's those on the margins of society. Maybe it's those with disabilities. Some people are really uncomfortable talking with people who aren't like themselves. And so they just make real small talk, but they move on, and they don't really want to connect. Maybe it's the elderly. I know with the youth mission trip, sometimes we bring teenagers to senior centers and nursing homes, and they are very, very nervous to interact with aged clients who are drooling down their faces. And you can be the person that says, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to go to the nursing home. That just makes me feel weird. Or you can be the person who grabs a napkin and wipes their chin and says, God loves you. Right? There are felons who have committed heinous crimes, and you might be like, but they're the worst person because they did that thing, whatever it is that you've decided is that thing. And it's in their past, and God wants to forgive them and help them move on. And you have the opportunity to say, you know what, but I see you for how God sees you as a child of God. Maybe it's somebody from another culture who lives in this community who makes you feel uncomfortable because you just don't understand them. They look different, they dress different, they eat different foods, and you're like, I don't know if I can trust them. And God's saying, you know what? Just because you feel uncomfortable because they're different, because they have, you know, things that are going on that you don't understand, doesn't mean that you can just say, I'm going to stay 6 feet away. Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable, and he's modeling that same thing for every single one of us. So right now, who might be a person or a group of people in your world that you can think of has kind of been the untouchable person or group for you, that you're just like, I don't really want to go there. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to be in relationship there because you're uncomfortable. Maybe that's exactly who God wants you to lean into building relationship. And I know I talked earlier about you can't help those who don't seek help first. But if there's somebody that God lays on your heart as you're like, yeah, they are on the margins of society, and maybe I am the one to be there for them, what God perhaps is asking you to do today is to lean in, to take a step towards them. because they're never going to ask you for help if they don't see you as a person who is safe and a person who cares. And so first you have to establish that relationship. This man had heard enough about Jesus. He was willing to run towards Jesus and fall at his feet. But you might have to establish a bit of relationship first so that those people know of all the world who's put them at arm's length, you're not one of them. You're willing to invite them in. And you might be surprised that when they do come to you and they say, you know what, you're the only one I trust and I need help. But that won't happen unless you first take that step and say, you know what, I'm here, I see you, and God sees you. Before Jesus said, I am willing, he had already answered the leper's question of, are you willing, through reaching out his hand and touching the man. The man with leprosy didn't just hear the good news, he felt it first. That's what you are. For someone in your world, you are the outstretched hand before the words come. You are the moment that somebody who has been invisible finally feels seen. So reach out, because this world is waiting. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?